This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.
Hey, I'm Evan Horowitz. I'm the CEO of Movers and Shakers. What I love about beauty is a colorful way to express yourself.
Although TikTok is the fastest growing social app, it's a really tough landscape for brands to navigate. This creative agency CEO has cracked that nut with e.l.f. Cosmetics. Together, they created the most successful TikTok campaign ever, a challenge that produced over 3 million user-created videos that have garnered over 4 billion views. You'll hear about the art and science of what makes content viral. In this case, it was creating an original song that eventually became a Spotify sensation, and it's even launched a new career for a Grammy-winning producer. That song is called Eyes, Lips, Face. Who knew that's what e.l.f. stood for?
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
So welcome to Beauty is Your Business. This is Karen Moon. I am joined by my awesome co-host, April.
Hi.
And Abby.
Hi.
So Evan, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Tell me, what are the stats behind the greatest e.l.f. TikTok campaign?
So that e.l.f.
And what was it?
So e.l.f.'s hashtag Eyes, Lips, Face challenge has over 4 billion views, over 3 million user-generated videos. It's the biggest and most effective campaign on TikTok ever, as deemed in terms of the stats, by Adweek, by BuzzFeed. The song took on a life of its own. It has over 300,000 playlists on Spotify that people added it to, 20 million streams out of platform. It's just been an epic cultural moment. Not to mention the celebrities, just to name drop Ellen, Reese Witherspoon, Kevin Hart, Terry Crews, like all these celebrities who organically and unprompted joined the challenge. So it's just been an epic part thing to participate in.
Amazing. So now let's take a step back, because not all of us know what a TikTok challenge is. Everyone's getting up to speed. So walk us through, what was the experience with e.l.f.? What were you trying to achieve, and how did this all kind of come together?
Yeah, so e.l.f. approached my agency, Movers and Shakers, to help them enter TikTok. e.l.f. is, as you know, a digital native brand. They're very focused on younger consumers. Gen Z is a key target for them, and e.l.f. is all about meeting their customers where they are. And TikTok was a natural next place to go, as TikTok has just grown so explosively throughout the last year. And they came to Movers and Shakers because of our deep experience using music and dance to bring brands to life, which is really the premise behind our agency and how we're consistently able to break records in our campaigns. It was actually our first campaign on TikTok, which was pretty good place to start with this campaign. But, you know, it's a good fit for us. And I think one of the reasons we've been consistently so successful on TikTok is because of its roots in music and movement. For those of you who don't know, TikTok used to be Musical.ly, which was an app that was kind of like a make your own music video sort of app. And so much of the conversation on TikTok is around the music and the movement. And so it's a space that Movers and Shakers as an agency has just been really able to play natively in.
Wow. So when you started with e.l.f., was their goal to just have an explosive campaign that was distributed and people joined? Or was there a deeper goal to really inform the consumer around the globe about the brand, what it stood for, and driving sales? Like, what was your ultimate, like, you achieved enormous success.
Yeah.
And it probably achieved great communication and feedback about, wow, what, check out e.l.f., but did it actually provide that next level of ROI?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's a lot of questions around TikTok and what is the ROI. So just to provide the context for e.l.f., under their new CEO, Corey, they have been constantly disrupting in new spaces over 2019. And I think they came in, they love to be first to market at doing things that no one's ever done before and really making a splash. But, you know, more fundamentally with this campaign, how do they connect with their consumers in a way and really increase the brand equity with this young consumer who's such an important customer for e.l.f.? And by being on TikTok and being there, not just being there, but in a way that's really authentic to the platform and joining the conversation in a way that Gen Z could really get behind, they really wanted to increase their brand awareness and brand equity with that demo. So that was really the key focus there.
Cool. So how does it actually start? So could you give us your process on how you started and then how you got it to where you ultimately landed?
Yeah, I guess sort of the quick version is, you know, TikTok is, it's a new platform that allows brands to create a mass cultural moment through these challenges. And we can talk a little bit more about what that means. So the question is, what's the moment and what's the conversation that this particular brand wants to start, to spark? So for e.l.f., we looked at a number of creative concepts with them, and we decided on the hashtag Eyes, Lips, Face challenge because one of e.l.f.'s core brand tenets is that e.l.f. is for every eye, lip, and face. It's a mass brand. It's very democratic. It's very inclusive. The goal here with this creative concept is let's get all of TikTok dancing to Eyes, Lips, Face. Which many people don't know is what e.l.f. stands for. E-L-F is Eyes, Lips, Face. So that was really the creative insight behind this campaign. But, you know, in terms of our process, it's really understanding what's the brand's goals and what's the conversation that is going to help move that brand forward. So that's what we landed on with e.l.f.
I think what's interesting is that you guys created an original song. So it's a 15-second. Like, how did you think about the type of song, like the artist? And tell us a little bit more about that, because I understand it actually went from just a 15-second clip to a full song on Spotify.
Yeah, no, exactly. So a TikTok challenge is typically 15 seconds long. And most brands get an off-the-shelf song for that. But e.l.f. wanted to do something different and something more disruptive. And Movers and Shakers, many of our projects involve creating original branded music. That's one of our specialties. So we were excited to work with e.l.f. to create the Eyes, Lips, Face song and allow them to be the first brand to ever create an original song for a TikTok hashtag challenge. So in order to create branded music, Movers and Shakers has a process to help look at what's the brand personality and DNA, who's the target consumer that they're going after, and figure out what's the energy of the music, what's the style of the music, and then, of course, the lyrics that are really going to resonate with that consumer, be on brand, and move the brand message forward. So we actually hired a number of different musicians that we looked at who all wrote demos for different songs based on a brief that we created around the Eyes, Lips, what the Eyes, Lips, Face song should be. And we honed in on a gentleman named Il Wayno, who is an incredibly talented producer. He actually had won a Grammy last year for work with Sting and Shaggy as a producer. But this is the first time that he's had a hit song as a songwriter. And so that's been really exciting to partner with him and help him launch his career. But as soon as we heard his demo and shared it with the e.l.f. team, we thought, oh, this is the sound. This is exactly what we want. We know Gen Z is going to love it. And I guess the rest is history.
Is your background music?
Mine is not. I'm a marketer by training, but my partner is a Broadway performer and director. And so he really brings the musical approach to our work.
Why do you think that music in this case, and in this case, beauty, makes such an interesting, like, effective pair, especially in this medium? It's not something that you naturally think of. Like, I think of fashion and music as, you know, something that naturally lives together and left, obviously, other forms of entertainment, but you don't necessarily think, you know, beauty and music as a logical, you know, a thing that would work, but you really made it something amazing and sticky in this medium. Why do you think that worked so well?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm new to the beauty space, so I'm just learning. It's been interesting to me that does seem weird, because to me, it's weird that it's weird in beauty. Like, music is
universal.
It's universal, right, and it's such an important way to create emotional connection. So a lot of what my agency does is use the power of music to create that emotional connection with a consumer and spark that joy. And the power of that emotion allows the brand to deepen their, you know, their equity with the consumer. And what we love to do is really fit the musical style to the brand personality. So here we chose a hip hop style. Right. We're really focused on this, you know, Gen Z audience, but, you know, other brands will do something that's a jazz style or, you know, more of a pop sort of sound or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me. It just seems like kind of like an untapped area, and like a lot of potential. There's a lot of potential for.
Right. Well, especially because there's a medium now to put it out there, which is
Well, I think that's a big part of it is on TikTok, if you're not thinking about the music as one of the very first parameters of a campaign, it's a big miss.
It's all about the music.
Right. It's all about the music, you know, which is different from how a lot of people create a YouTube spot or a TV spot where they kind of make the spot and then, oh, we need music at the end.
Right.
TikTok is not like that, although you do see some brands mistakenly approaching it that way. So much of what makes something viral on TikTok is the music. And if people love it and the music tees up a challenge, people will participate, right? So you see a huge range in results with TikTok challenges. We actually wrote the 15-second track second by second very carefully choreographing the challenge. Some moments are very directive about what you should be doing, like, let me see them lips. And then we added a mwah sound because we wanted people to do the mwah motion, right? And then we had other moments that were more of a springboard to allow creativity, because with a TikTok challenge, you want both it to be clear what to do, but you also need to let people make it their own, because that's what makes it exciting for them to participate.
It's like the art and science of it all. You know, it's interesting about the parallel of what just happened here, where you guys almost, it was like, okay, this song makes sense, but it turned into a longer song. You mentioned it launches career. I definitely want to hear more about that.
Yeah.
But it's actually very much in parallel to the way Elf develops products, right? Mm-hmm. Testing, seeing what works, and then expanding it larger to their mass channels. Can you tell us more about the music process and like how it was involved, or how did that, and what is now, is this artist going on to do his own things now?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening there?
We've really launched his career in a whole new way. I mean, he was very successful as a producer, but now he's having a whole new career as a songwriter. And he and this song got picked up by Republic Records, which is the, if you don't know them, I wasn't familiar with them before, but they're the preeminent record label in the U.S. They have Drake, they have Taylor Swift, they have Ariana Grande, and now they picked up the Eyes, Lips, Face song, and they're partnering with Elf with through Movers and Shakers to promote the Eyes, Lips, Face song to the world. So I guess that's the end, but you know how we got here. Originally, it was just a 15-second track for TikTok. But within days of launching the challenge on TikTok, we're seeing comments from TikTok users saying, hey, I can't find the song on iTunes. Where's the song?
Oh.
And
we're like, oh, they're looking for the song on iTunes.
They're looking for the song. They're not looking for the product. They want the song. But that's really, you know, because that's so interesting, because music really speaks to the human soul, right?
Totally.
Like, if you hear a song that you like, you need it. You got to get it. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank
you. That.
Yeah. So
then it just, like, so then how did it go? Like, people just started jump, because I see what goes on in my own house. They just start jumping in. Like, how does it ultimately elevate and scale on TikTok?
It snowballs. So So when you buy a hashtag challenge from TikTok, you're guaranteed a certain amount of distribution and presence in the app. Then it's up to the creative concept. Do people like it? Do they think it's cool? Which a lot of that, obviously, as we've been saying, has to do with the music. If they like it, then you're going to see your kids in their bedrooms filming their version of the challenge.
Right.
They put it out there. Their friends see it. They make their own version. They put it out there. Their friends see it. And it just starts to snowball from there. And that's how you get to, now with the hashtag Eyes of Space, over 3 million user-generated videos.
When you were creating this, did you look at other challenges that were created by other beauty brands to see which ones were successful or more successful or less successful, and kind of benchmark or see, you know, what you wanted to do based on competitive, you know, environment? Or did you sort of just say, okay, this is what we want to do? Were you sort of looking at the competitive?
We were, yeah. Now, TikTok, especially back when we launched this in October, was still very new. And so there wasn't a lot of brands at all, let alone beauty brands that had done challenges. There were one or two beauty brands that had participated. None of them, varying levels of success. But we didn't want to emulate those. We obviously wanted to make something that was really on brand for e.l.f. and what they were trying to do. The other brand that I really admire on TikTok is Chipotle. Totally outside of beauty, obviously, but they've been
they're so good. I've seen their challenge. It's brilliant. Yeah.
What do they do? I gotta look it up.
They've done several hashtag challenges. Uh-huh. They did the hashtag Chipotle lid flip, which where you get one of their Chipotle bowls and you flip it, the lid into it. They did the hashtag guac dance to celebrate National Guacamole Day, which I think they made up, but it was like a day of free guac. But they had this really funny song that they got that's a guacamole song, and people loved it, and they all did a guacamole dance.
That's so
cute.
And
that was all to promote guacamole day. So
let's dig into snack time, which is one of our favorite parts of the episode, where we get to like kind of share, you know, break bread.
You're already eating it.
I know.
What are you doing?
You're cheated.
Evan, what did you bring for us today? Or what did you want to share?
Yeah, I brought you guys bubble tea, which is one of my favorites. Sorry, I have bubbles in my mouth right now.
And I'm trying to like not eat while I'm talking.
Yeah.
It's probably not the best for a podcast.
Thank you.
Are you not familiar with bubble tea?
I am, but I've never had it. So I'm a little, I know there's some bubbles on the bottom.
It's definitely a hit or miss. I will admit, some people, it's maybe it's an acquired taste, but I first had it in college and love it. So it's milk tea, which means it's condensed milk with typically black tea. Uh-huh. So it's a little bit sweet, and that's why it has a milky color. And then in the bottom, there's these little tapioca balls, which when you suck them up through this ultra thick straw, can be a bit of a surprise the first time it pops into your mouth, but it gives it a fun, chewy texture. So I'm a big fan.
Up next, we'll dive into TikTok, how it's becoming one of the fastest growing social media platforms, and Evan's thoughts on the future of the platform itself.
If you like funny people talking, I think maybe you should check us out.
That's Elsie, the producer for Funny People Talking. I'm Mark Rako. I'm one of the hosts. And also with me is...
Danielle. I'm one of the other hosts. And you know what, Elsie? I actually think you're a funny person. And on the show, you do talk. So it really lives up to its name.
So if you love great interviews that have a lot of heart, improv comedy, and just a really fun discussion, you should check out the podcast Funny People Talking on Mouth Media Network and wherever the best podcasts are found, because I think this is one of the best podcasts, don't you, Elsie?
Well, duh.
What about you, Danielle?
Well, duh.
And what about you, all the listeners out there? So you must believe all these people. We don't lie at all, but we are funny. Listen to Funny People Talking every Monday, and really anytime. It's a podcast.
Yeah, and we don't lie.
So I'd love to know a little bit more about the statistics around TikTok, because it is such a new social platform and it's getting such traction, and it's like exploded onto the into the world, basically, right? Everybody's doing it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
A little scary on some levels, but
especially as a mom, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, a little bit, but if it stays true to the core of what it is, it could be a great thing, right? Because everything you're sharing is that it's been fun and joyful and celebratory. Like that, if you can impart that in the world, is a beautiful thing, as long as it stays in that.
That's
direction.
One of the things I love about TikTok, actually, because it's a very positive world. When you go in TikTok and you just flip through, people are expressive, they're happy, they're clever, they're funny, and that's really the ethos of the culture there, which is very different from a lot of other social platforms, which can be either a little more tense, I would say, or more over photoshopped, you know. And TikTok,
it's authentic. You mean
it's
the,
very
the
authentic
TikTok vibe?
And if you look, it's so different, the polar opposite of Instagram in many ways, just because everything's just shot on your phone. Filters are applied for fun, not to try to look perfect. And it's not about having your best self, like, you know, amazing vacation. It's about just like having fun in your bedroom and sharing something clever that you thought of with your friends.
That's why everyone's doors are shut.
Not that kind of fun.
Okay. So,
sure. What are some of the stats? Because, you know, it's been growing at an exponential rate. And I actually think we're just at the beginning of a tipping point.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's starting to become mainstream now heading into 2020. But, I mean, you have to remember, it only existed starting in 2018.
Right.
It's barely over a year old. And they've now gone up to 40 million monthly active users in the U.S. That's up from 30 million in Q3. So it's just growing exponentially. It's been the number one downloaded social app all of last year on every platform. It's growing quickly with older demographics also now, which is really interesting. So everybody still thinks
they want to have fun.
It's really fun.
It's
fun. It is fun.
That's
I love being on TikTok.
Are you on TikTok? Should we all be on TikTok?
You should at least be a voyeur on TikTok. It's a lot of work to create TikTok videos, which we don't have time for right now. But I mean, people spend on average 30 minutes creating a TikTok video.
Oh, creating the
video. Creating the video, yeah. It's just so different. I mean, you might think, oh, it's like an Instagram story, but that's just more like, oh, here's where I am right now.
Yeah.
People actually edit them. Well, first of all, they come
They're
up with a fun storyline.
It's production. They're producing.
Yeah, and all that's built into the app, which is, I think, part of why it's been so successful, because it's very easy for someone to create. It's all the tools are there, and it really allows people to unleash their creativity in an amazing way.
So from a brand perspective, tell us more about, you know, the influencers and the ecosystem, you know, because it's really interesting. This is so much more democratic. First of all, we're already coming into a new social platform where the idea of social currency and the idea of creating content is already kind of framed in people's minds, and they're willing to try something. But it's really different, right? It's not like people are starting from scratch. So there's certain influencers on TikTok that have like
way more followers than they do on Instagram. So you have an opportunity to start. Like, in to our earlier point, there's grandmothers on it. Like, tell us a little bit about some of the influencers on TikTok and how varied that is versus Instagram.
Yeah. Well, most of the successful TikTok influencers started on TikTok, and they're not Instagram people coming over or YouTube people coming over. Actually, a lot of them were on Vine before because there's a lot of parallels.
Is Vine still around?
No, but now those creators are on TikTok and doing very well because the type of creativity is just very different. And so a lot of the influencers, it's really fun as a brand to work with them because they're genuinely excited to get a brand deal, which is, not how it is on Instagram anymore, right? Like, so,
well, because it's new. When something's new and it's fresh, and people want to be first.
They want to be first, and they just they want to have that opportunity. It's sort of, you know, these young kids who it's a status for them that, oh my God, a brand would pay me to do this thing that I have fun doing anyway, you know?
Yeah.
But that's delightful as a brand because although it requires a little more handholding, there's just a genuine openness to collaborate that we don't always find on other platforms.
Very interesting. And back to sort of, I find it so interesting how music plays the part in TikTok, obviously a huge component of the success of a campaign. What do you think is the difference between the type of music a brand would use in TikTok versus other forms, you know, of media that they might have, whether it's a YouTube video, a commercial, whatever it is? Do you think it's better to keep that consistent across the board, or do you tailor it to the medium, I guess?
Yeah, it's a great question. We definitely would tailor it to the medium. So Movers and Shakers, my agency, we create original music for brands across platforms. Mm-hmm. Most of our bread and butter is YouTube and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so TikTok obviously is relatively new for us, as it is for everybody. We're always trying to match the style of the music to the audience. So when you're on TikTok, you're going to be talking in general to a younger demo than, you know, on Instagram or certainly on Facebook.
Right.
So that's the first thing. And then the other thing is the format of the music. So TikTok is the most complex, I think, from a music creation standpoint, because you're actually thinking about how are people going to use this on their own to tell a story with this track, versus when we create music for a YouTube spot that we're making, we're writing the script. We know what's going to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. So we create the music around that creative script that we're writing. But on TikTok, it's, you have to create music that people are going to be able to use and make their own. And that's a different creative challenge.
So you mentioned you guys create original music for all of your campaigns?
For most, yeah. I mean, that's one of the core competencies, I think, behind Movers and Shakers.
Yeah.
Really using music to help express a brand and create that emotional connection with consumers. So it's not for all of our projects, but a lot of them. And I think that's a lot of things that brands come to us excited about, saying, we've never really thought about how does our brand express musically, where it's always been an afterthought. And can you help us kind of think through that? And how can we use music more strategically to flesh out that aspect of our brand?
Is there a science to, like, what makes songs catchy? Because if you think about it, like, you remember certain songs because there's like an emotional trigger. And, I mean, you don't share your secret sauce, but it sounds like there might be.
There is, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's an art and a science, you know, so many things. The technical term for catchiness is an earworm. So that's like a phrase that gets stuck in your head, you know, that, and we're always trying to create an earworm with our songs where you're walking down the street an hour later,
the
next
day,
and
when that happens,
keeps playing in your head. Yeah, you hate that, but that's our job.
But that's
our
job. Your goal, and then you did your job.
We do it well. So we do want to get, especially with a commercial spot, we don't have a lot of time. You've got to get that catchy chorus, you know, so that people do remember it and they're singing it later. And that's an opportunity for brands to re-emphasize that brand equity well after the spot has aired.
I have a question about the actual music connection to, like, the call to action. Because, like, as I'm listening to you and thinking about different songs and social media and the, you know, each platform is unique, right? They're all even getting deeper into their definitive demographics as the world's evolving, right? Like, there's been lots of shifts. Do you feel like the songs that you create, or if you're creating something for TikTok, is it more about the call to action? If you want everybody empowered to start dancing and following that, like, with that exciting energy, and then Facebook may be a little different feeling, or a story that you're telling? I don't know. What does that look like for each? Because like if you're doing Elf on TikTok, but Elf still wants you to do something on Facebook or Instagram, does it look different? Is it the same campaign that you build out? How do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It does look different depending on what we're trying to do.
Right.
And I agree, on TikTok, often the goal is to spark virality. So we want people to want to make it their own and reuse it, which is different from an Instagram campaign. It's also different if you're doing something that's more direct responsey versus more brand building, you know, where you're just kind of trying to create a mood and associate that with the brand versus are we using the lyrics to actually educate and inform? That's a different type of goal. So we're thinking about all those things as we craft the song.
In general, do you find that the original songs are more effective than, say, using, you know, popular songs or songs that nobody that are existing that people aren't aware of? Do you feel like the original, I guess, sounds and whatever are more effective in driving like a brand's message and association with a brand than something that, like, say, is a Rolling Stone song that they put in a commercial or something like that? I guess, are there benefits to both, or do you feel like brands are trending towards one versus the other now?
It's definitely benefits to both, and I think that's part of the strategic conversation that we have with our clients.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a one way is for sure the best way.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly a lot of benefit to licensing a hit song and grafting off of that equity that artist has created around their song. That's expensive also,
right?
You know, so
yeah,
it can be way more cost effective to write
their songs away.
Right.
Do you own the rights to the song, or does your client?
We work that out.
You do. It's,
you know, depending on what, yeah, depending on how broad the usage rights are. So one great thing about creating original music is from the beginning in the brief, we know exactly what usage rights do we want. You know, so you're not like, oh, I wish we could run this on this other platform. And then you don't even have the rights. You have to renegotiate it. That's all worked out from the onset.
Mm. What are the best practices that you've seen on brands using TikTok? Because obviously they're not going to do a challenge all the time. Are they participating in challenges? Or like, how does that, what have you seen work, and what advice do you have to social media managers?
Yeah, totally. We're working with quite a number of brands to help them enter TikTok. So it's a common question that we're working with them on. The biggest thing is to just understand that TikTok is a fundamentally different type of conversation, type of content than other platforms, especially for beauty brands that are amazing on Instagram and have this gorgeous, highly produced content that's so meticulously art directed.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to flop on TikTok.
Right.
You know, it's just going to look awful. Like, who are these imposters on here? And unfortunately, you'll see some brands who are just kind of repurposing their Instagram content.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we have IG stories that's vertical. We'll just throw it on TikTok.
Right.
And
if they don't realize the true creative genius of each audience responds to something different. Right?
Yeah. And the creativity that stands out on TikTok is about the storytelling. It's about the music. It's about the fun factor. And so that's when you're creating your content for TikTok, you really have to bring that aspect in, throw the production value out the window. That's not important. In fact, it can be a turnoff. And then, you know, that's what makes your content really resonate.
So on the so people can buy a TikTok challenge, which is an ad campaign, and then the other hashtag challenges, are those just organic that TikTok started, or do users start hashtags? How does that work?
Yeah, it's
like the trending hashtags.
Somewhat organic process and somewhat curated. You could, Karen, if you want to start a challenge, you could try.
Let's do the Karen challenge.
Well, I hashtag think Karen beauty challenge is going to be
with your
a
glasses.
Trend. Well, I mean, I think like, so
Karen
application,
yep.
You know, like if you think about like certain, like you can almost create a trend. So if a TikTok influencer, you know, like you think about the science of how you launch campaigns, if you did that with a hashtag on lipstick application or whatever, then like, you know, then you kind of create just like an organic beauty thing. Like, I feel like that's going to start happening. Like, there's
probably
so many other, like, make a dress or all the random things, but I feel like there's just so much happening in beauty that you could see something.
They're probably even there. We may not know about that.
There are quite a lot of beauty trends on TikTok. It's one of the biggest segments.
What's like the unicorn, like how they just, you know, the unicorn?
No, I don't know.
You don't know the, you know, the unicorn's like the one thing. You don't know, you know what a unicorn is?
The horse with the horn.
Yeah. You know, it's like that one thing that everybody wants, the unicorn.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely an opportunity for brands to create their own challenge, and TikTok sells that as a product that helps you boost that. But there's also just, I think, to your previous point about, you know, brands using TikTok effectively, you can take advantage of the challenges and the trends that are happening on TikTok,
right?
So that's
right.
One of the success strategies. If you don't want to do your own campaign, which is obviously a lot of money, you can effectively participate in other people's challenges, whether they're branded or unbranded. It doesn't really matter. So your brand can create their videos that enter challenges, that respond to challenges. And that's a lot of what we help our clients do, because our TikTok team just really has their ear to the ground of what are the inside jokes this week? You know, does it changes week
is
to
it,
week?
Does it change? Yeah, I was going to say, does it change weekly?
Absolutely.
Is it, and daily? Or
yeah.
Because it takes a little while for things to catch on anyway, right?
Yeah, well, things sort of roll through. They come in, they're trending up, they're trending down, you know, and the next things are trending up, trending down, and that's songs, that's topics, etc.
And do you follow, are there analytics that you follow? Is it
there's
like,
not a lot of analytics. No. It's very manual at this point.
Very manual.
Awesome. Well, this is super interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Cool.
Up next, we're going to hit the pan with Evan and get to know him on a more personal level.
Makeup in Shanghai is the only B2B event in Shanghai with global makeup and skincare offers from ingredients, formulation, design, packaging, accessories, and full-service suppliers, along with workshops and conferences by top experts of the industry. The next edition, April 8th and 9th, 2020, at the Shanghai Exhibition Center. Whatever your project is, you can find the best contacts there. You can ask for a free badge on the website makeup-in-shanghai.com.
And now it's Hitting the Pan.
So now we're going to hit the pan with Evan and get to know him at a more personal level. To decide who gets to ask the first question, we're going to take a spin at the salon chair. And it lands on April.
All right. So obviously, you have had this super successful campaign on TikTok, which is amazing. But what is your favorite form of social media? Or you can if you can choose to have none if you don't have any. What's your favorite social media platform?
I love TikTok. I have to admit. Yeah. And I'm not just saying that because we do a lot of work there, although it is obviously I have to spend time on TikTok professionally. Mm. But I just love the creativity. Mm. People just come up with the craziest stuff, and it's really fun, you know. It, like when I flip, I'm like constantly
look
laughing
at that
out
smile
loud.
On his face.
All these people, I don't even know who they are, you know. And that's one cool thing about TikTok, it's not even about who you follow, it's just random things that the algorithm thinks you'll like, and they get to know you so quickly. It's kind of creepy, but amazing.
And it's so much more democratic, like the
very
way it works. Yeah. It's not like the algorithms on Facebook or Instagram.
Cool.
And we're gonna take another spin at this launcher, and it lands on Abby.
Oh, okay. So I have so many questions. You seem like
you can have two questions.
Again, you seem like you are loving what you're doing, which is such a great thing to hear. So congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
So I want to know, if you were to do the best TikTok campaign for yourself, what would you do?
Oh my gosh. To promote me?
Yeah. You got a hot brand, Movers and Shakers. Like, where are you going with it?
Yeah, well,
that's a good name.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we're really excited. I think, you know, our mission as Mover and Shakers is just to spread joy in the world. So our TikTok campaign would definitely be about inspiring joy.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too. And I just think it's desperately needed where we are today as a planet. And I think there's an opportunity for brands to lean into joy and delight more. And we just love to help them express their stories in that way. So I do love what I do, and I love that we get to. I love that I get to see the work, whether it's a TikTok campaign, a video campaign, whatever it is, and just feel proud of that, like putting that energy into the world.
Very nice.
Did you have a question too?
Well, I think the three of us are ready to jump in on the joy campaign.
Okay.
We hit the pan. And then, okay, I'll give you a part two. What music do you love? What you know, gets you feeling joyful and excited? And
I love dance music, like techno, house music. Yeah, I used to be a clubber back in the day.
Okay. Good. Very nice. You guys are like made for this agency, like the whole thing.
It's so cute. Yeah, do what you love.
Yeah,
it's a nice thing.
Cool. And so we'll take a last spin at this lawn chair, and obviously it lands on me. So Evan, I love the ethos of everything you guys do, and that the idea of sparking joy. Outside of marketing and TikToks, so you cannot use that answer or clients or any of that. But what sparks joy outside of work?
So I'm a new dad. That's definitely
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
What do you have?
1.5-year-old daughter.
Oh,
yeah, so that's so very joyful. Obviously, it's just been amazing to watch her grow up, and she just got her first pair of tap shoes yesterday.
Oh my god!
My husband bought them for her.
Oh my god, that is so sweet.
That's the next TikTok campaign.
That is so sweet.
So we put down this wooden cutting board for her to tap dance on, and she's like just kind of figure. I was like, oh, when I move my feet, it makes a click. Like,
oh wait, and she's 1.5. Already getting coordination.
Yeah,
and, yeah, that's incredible.
To figure it out. Yeah,
that's so cool. Yeah.
What's her
so
name? Cool.
Her name's Mika.
Oh. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Evan, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
So just on the theme of sparking joy, I just think it's so important to do something that you love. And I appreciate your pointing out. I do love what I do. And I'm always trying to figure out how can I navigate my career to find more fulfillment for myself. And I guess my thought to everybody listening is be brave and take that next step, whatever that is for you, to bring more joy and fulfillment into your life.
That's awesome.
And what is the best way for listeners to get in touch?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Evan Horowitz, or you can send me an email, evan@movershakersco.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Such a pleasure and such a joy and delight to have you.
I hope I can deliver on our brand promise.
Sounds good. And thanks to my co-host for joining. Thanks you, Abby.
Thanks for having me.
And April.
Thanks, Karen.
And thanks for all of our listeners for joining in for another episode. Can't wait to see you guys on the next show. Hugs and kisses.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Copyright 2019. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network. And find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com. And wherever the best podcasts are found, your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.